It's not bad for 20 minutes of prep. We in here.
Rejuvenated.
Do you feel better?
I'm surprised you called me back.
What do you mean? You thought like that was going to end the show?
I mean, now we can talk about it.
No, we're talking about it now.
All right, let's go.
We're online.
Are we?
Yeah, we are online. Look at that. Hey, I'm out. I've been off now. We on air.
Yeah.
I think the last episode, it was great to like get everyone together.
Was it?
It was.
Okay.
It was. To see what the temperature was.
There's definitely a temperature.
That day? Yeah, definitely. The whole day was temperature. The episode was temperature for sure. You get there the first 30. You know, it was kind of like, yo, what's going on with him? That was probably one of the most grossing episodes we've ever had in 4 years. You know what I mean? I think we did like 800-900 the first week, you know, and second week. So, I mean, that's a 1,500 listen episode easily. And that just shows the power of the network. It's not going to be something that will merge them all together. I don't know what, you know, what's going to happen with GFB. I think the great thing is like, I got my friends back. You know what I mean? So start there. Really, you know, grateful to have Cease and, you know, Star, you know, come together and put out a GFB episode. And that was great to have you there also to kind of give some insight, man.
Mm.
And so for the culture, we gave them 3 hours purposely.
Okay.
I have to pitch a way to get a break from you.
Yeah.
Because you'll find a way to be like, I could pop right now. Like, not right now. All right. How you feeling, man?
Hey, man. I mean, I feel a little different than that, but all right.
How do you feel?
I mean, first and foremost, I was, you know, main priority was to get your friends back. Glad you did that.
Okay.
I just, listening back, it was kind of rough.
What do you mean?
At least for me, anyway.
Like, rough as in terms
I mean, one, just that day in general just wasn't, I probably shouldn't have been here.
Just listening to yourself? I didn't think you was coming.
Right. And then, like, the show went like totally different from how I saw it in my mind, and that was probably because of the loop, because I didn't know there was going to be like a full-on episode y'all was having. So I come in,
that was spirit of the moment.
No, I feel you. I'm just saying, you know, so I get here and it was just kind of like I felt like I was jumping in to an uncomfortable situation, because I was still trying to, you know, I wasn't here from the start, so I didn't know the temperature I was jumping into, right? And then just the energy just felt a little off. And I mean, I guess they kind of told me from jump, like, yo, we're in a groove right now. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think it came to fruition when I kind of got, I don't want to say pressed, but it was kind of pressed by Cease with the, you know, what's your responsibility question?
Mm.
And I felt like it sounded really bad. It sounded like I was real suspect. You
like
know
your
I mean?
Response?
Like, you know what I mean? That should be a second nature question.
Do you want to clean it up?
I can clean it up. No, but I'm saying, like, it just sounded like I was, like, and I think what happened was I just felt, like, a little uncomfortable to the point where, like, damn, I gotta provide some super crazy answer to,
for
like,
something I wasn't
to make to make sure every, it's not about being prepared, because it should be a second nature answer to me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But it just felt like I had to go above and beyond with my answer to be like, oh, to prove, you know, whatever I'm trying to prove. But at the point is, like, if you really know me, you know how I give it up. So what I should have just said was, hey, my responsibility, if I see something that's wrong, I'm going to call them out. And that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? But I'm just over here stuttering, standing.
But I felt like you put that undue pressure on yourself, though.
I'm not saying, because I know, you know, I'm not saying that. I know how Cease talk. Me and Cease, we know. I just seen him in real life. You know
that.
What I mean? But
so he's not coming with no negative energy.
It just
energy.
Feel like that, you know, maybe I was just caught off from the energy plus the day in general.
And yeah, but you gotta look at it too. Me. It's two people on the phone. You know what I mean? It's me and you here.
Yeah. But I'm just, you know, I got a lot of, at least on my side, there was a few negative feedbacks. You know what I mean?
A little flack.
We just want to know, I mean, not just with me, but then like, with you, we just need to know if it's like, is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike?
What do you be?
I mean, I guess a lot of the people that were talking to me probably didn't listen to GFB before. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand y'all dynamic.
The dynamic since then.
Right. But they were kind of pointing out some contradictive dynamics of who you are between shows.
But I think that's a great thing. Because I can't be this, you know what I mean?
No, like, and I get that part. So I wasn't tripping on that part, but the point that was made to me, I was like, I guess I didn't think about that, was like, me as someone who's listened to you from day one, I understand how y'all talk. You're younger than them. I mean, they're a little bit older than I am.
Right.
So the way they talk about, like, on some little brother shit, like, I get it. But the way that they were talking when y'all were cleaning up your stuff, and it was jokingly, but it could be perceived as just like, you know, I left this house feeling like a side piece.
Mm.
And that part of my life is over. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, yeah, well, who has a better catalog? Who's this? Who's that? And it's like, you understand, I'm going to be here next week and the week after.
But you know, you don't know when they're coming back. But you know we have a better catalog as of right now. As it stands, like today.
I know, but I just feel like they had you on your twinkle toes just like that was know, shuffling. That was like, 60, tell us what we want to hear, baby. Tell us what we want to hear.
That was 60 episodes of that. But here's the thing. So the one thing that I will say is like, I did say this, and I mean that they are part of my maturation, right? Old Carl would have been pissed off about some stuff. But at the same token, like if I look at it full view, there were some wrongs on my behalf that I had to own up to. One, changing the password on the grown folks thing, coming up out of nowhere with, you know, a new podcast and not talking to him about him. Because I was at your house when I was sitting there for 3-4 hours thinking about, yo, how can I do it in the most respectful way but disrespect them at the same token? You know what I mean? So I have to, you know, apologize for my role in things too. You know what I mean? Like C said, I still wanted the pod. So I found a way for me to still pod and keep that door open to mend the relationship. It's still not 100% of where it needs to be. So yeah, I do have to play both sides of the fence. It's politics in that regard. You know what I mean? Like, if I want my friends back, I know what I have to do. Because genuinely speaking, everybody that was, you know, present that day went to my baby shower, you know what I mean? Been to birthday events for me, you know, have done things. So I can't just sit up here and be like, oh, you know, F them. I'm not dealing with them no more. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I do have to, you know, you have to massage some things. You know?
You're mixing friends with business.
And that's tough. That was episode two of one with our with GFB. Like, and then it's funny because, like, we had an episode about that. And then 70, you know, episodes later, 60-something episodes later, it comes to fruition where it's like, I wanted to keep going. Like, this podcast stuff, you know, it ain't for the weary, man. It really is not. It's not. At that point, we were doing every 2 weeks. Now we doing every week. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this now for 3.5 years, and we got some strong traction. I can go off, and we can go off like we just did and not have an episode come out for a week, but still pull in a decent amount of listens just based off of having relevant content and people able to get there.
Yeah.
So I know where you're getting at.
I just want to make sure you was confident in your beliefs.
I am confident.
Hey, man.
Do I feel like GFB has a great catalog? Yeah, but that's like comparing Jay-Z to like a new rapper. You know what I mean? Like, we've already been established. That doesn't mean that you're not good as a freshman coming in.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to make sure everything was good. Maybe I caught some strays in the energy just because y'all was doing y'all thing while having conversations that you guys haven't technically had yet. And I'm coming in as like an innocent bystander where it's just like, oh, the colonizer's here. The one he's, you know what I mean?
But you know, but I mean, even then, those are questions that are asked off mic.
No, yeah. No, hey, I've been in the same room with them multiple times. There's been nothing but love
any
on my side as
that
far
meets
as I know.
You, and I know you know this, but any black person that meets you, Lex,
yeah,
is going to start questioning your validity
right.
to the culture, no matter what, if they're new to you. I deal with it
no,
as
that's
your
fine.
Friend. That's true. You know that's going to happen. You know
no,
what I mean?
That's fine.
And so, like, and I guess if we're looking at it in context of, like, that episode and stuff like that, you know, maybe he never got a chance to ask you that. The two episodes that we had or whatever was on some other shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. I ain't impressed about that part. I was just cleaning up, like, because I know I was like, hey, because you're my friend's sake, and if you get pressed about me from people because I'm your friend, just like, hey, I sound a real suspect right there. Because I'm a guest. So if you need to test my validity and the first thing you hear is me stumble on a question like that, it's like, he went over here and got him a plaque queen just to.
Nah, that's not it. We know your origins. Enough by good. Now. But I don't know, and if we need to discuss it, we can.
I feel like I don't talk to as many listeners we have. I don't know that many people. You know what I mean? So there's people that don't know who I am.
But and so if you want to let them know who you are, we could definitely get to that then. Would you stand on principles more?
No, that's fine. Let's get to the episode. Man. Gonna do, I was just making sure. Is it Uchiwali or is it one mic?
Obviously, we on two mics right now, so I ain't necessarily worried. Listen, I'm in a messed up mood, and I'll talk to y'all a little bit more about it, man, as we go ahead and go through. But I'm gonna go ahead and play this. This is where my mood is taking me. Yeah, we man. All on this R&B today. You know the horns is back, baby. New Jasmine Sullivan. I'm rocking with it.
No phone. Who is this? Brand new. Like the whip, rack it up, no assist. Made bitch, I ain't average. Wake up, beat a zip, Hennessy.
Welcome to the You Wasn't Outside podcast.
I'm too thick, I ain't got no room for extra baggage. Don't forget to come and pick up your hood.
Sing it!
Feelings, don't leave no pieces. You need to hurry and pick up your feelings. Shit, you can keep it. Whoa, don't forget to come and pick up your
food. Yes, 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 yes. We back in the booth. We back in the booth with the slow fade outs. You know how it is. I'm not mixing up no more DJ stuff because y'all don't appreciate it. Forget you, Mark.
We did it, y'all. We did it. 23 episodes.
Oh,
we
did man. It. Yeah. Listen. I don't care. You could be outside barbecuing because it's warm outside now, baby. You could be cruising, living your best life, taking a break at your mama's house, your auntie's house, your uncle's house, the gym, a makeshift gym. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Thank you.
Next to you, you. I try not to show how I feel about you. Think you wish you were, but we don't really. I just wanna get away and sit right next to you. You. I don't wanna kiss you.
I didn't like the fact that Jonathan Test, my gangster, the other day, talking about, yo, I was listening to rap, you know, Friday morning, watching Gun Bars and stuff on my you know, my daily routine. And he said, man, hella aggressive in the morning. Hold up, King.
You was talking about, because I think whatever, I posted some, like, LL Cool J shit that was more hardcore, not the ballad side.
Yeah.
And he just, because they were back to back, he said, oh, like, we as a unit are very aggressive this particular morning.
Oh, so he was talking about everybody.
Yeah, everyone that posted before he got to it.
Okay, I was about to say,
it wasn't directed towards you, even though you had audio messages and all your fancy shit that you put to it.
I felt bad, you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, like, I was like, damn, bro, like, I like candles. Yeah. I water plants. You know
hey,
what
you
mean?
See, I found out how to do the search the meme button yesterday.
Oh, you the magnifying glass?
Oh, you probably put us on do not disturb during the game.
I got a lot of chats on do not disturb, man. I don't want that shit. Because, like, y'all, 60 episodes deep. I mean, 60 messages deep. And I'm like, fam, like,
Ravens is playing last night. You know I had to get to it.
Yeah.
Especially when you saw the score.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Q. Not really.
All I'm going to say is that, you know, when a dude's spirit is broken, he going to start saying, all I'm going to say is.
He crying in the car.
It don't help that he's red, too.
Give you all of my
yeah, we grooving. Listen, it's 2021. I'm switching my Lex names up. I'm just coming up with random stuff. I no longer can think of anything brown or pink. But we gonna get them off. Where else are you gonna hear honest conversations? You see Lex just test my gangster. Sidestepped it. Woo!
I don't want nobody else.
Gotta let that hook play just a little bit. Yes, 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 yes. I want to welcome y'all to the You Wasn't Outside podcast. What episode is this?
23.
Episode 23 of the You Wasn't Outside podcast on the Grown Folks Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most normal ass Carl. To my right, I have my man.
Here we go again.
The one, the only, at Just Lex. Let's go ahead.
Naraz Carter.
Just Lex. AKA it's 5 p.m. somewhere.
I'm surprised I got something.
Yeah, cause, man.
Cause you know, on your description for the wrap up. On this podcast, I'm known as Lex, but even on the this is more side piece stuff. I'm throwing it. Even
side piece chronicles.
Yeah, yeah. Even on the description, special guest Alex was here. That's all I got.
It's GFB. Oh, you know what? I was gonna timestamp it, but I was like, bro, it's 3 hours of material. It's a year end wrap up.
Hey, man, I'm just kicking you in the dick a little bit. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I prepped you for a while for this. I told you,
man. Let me get my hurt out. Let me just get it out.
You're back though.
I'm here.
You know,
you
have your own show.
Where was I yesterday?
You was at my house.
Kid's birthday.
There you go.
Another special event.
Yeah, this is, you've been holding this in. We done worked out together and everything. He didn't want to say that to me on the brisk jog that we had.
I wasn't feeling all the way that way until then. Because I was getting I had other stuff I was dealing with. Thank you, by the way.
Thank you.
Let me switch my energy totally up. I appreciate you, brother.
Nah, don't do that. Don't even bring it up. Don't do it.
I'm not going to bring it up. Right, I'm just saying I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you.
My life's been a little unstable and you brought a little bit of stability.
I mean, if it comes down to me, you know. I hope you would give me the same, you know, satisfaction or, you know, whatever that is.
I got you.
All right, there we go. You got the square footage for it. So
I'm about to. Yep.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that'd be great. How you been, man? Let's just jump into that real quick. It might be a long episode since we checking in. I didn't know he was gonna be here this long. Whatever. How you been?
I mean,
anything you want to share with the people that's not damaging that could be you,
yeah, most of my
that's
shit.
Pertinent.
Hey, man, we get to that. Hey, luckily we didn't have a pod last week. You know, I tried to get you in here.
Nah, and I knew it. I was like, nah, he's going off a reaction right now. I need him to stew it off for a little bit, man. Nah, man, I've been, I personally have been doing okay. You know what I mean? Hit a little stress spot from work during this week. Have you ever sat down and was like, I just can't focus? Like, I'm done. Like, I'm mentally just done. I need some time away.
It happens more often than not.
But when have you enacted it? Like, yo, I'm about to get me a week off right now.
Oh, I mean, maybe I should act on it more. I just don't act on it. It just changes me until I get, like, kicked in the ass to, like, change back.
I knew it was a bad thing when my eyes started twitching, and I was like, okay. And then one time, in the beginning of the pandemic, we went to go get new countertops, right, last year. And so I went to this spot over there off of Imperial, beautiful cabinets if you guys want to go there. I can't think of the name of it, but it's off of Imperial, make it right off the freeway. Actually, it's not Imperial, it's Market. If you're heading north, get off on Market, make a left, and you'll eventually see all them cabinets outside. Asian dude worked there, right? Cabinets and granite tops. And he's looking at me, he sees my eye twitch. And he's like, give me a little stern look. He's like, hey, man, you know why your eye's like that? And, you know, normally if somebody eye twitch, you'll say nothing. So I'm like, all right, this guy's confident. He said, you're too stressed out. He said, I went to the doctor for that. Thought something was wrong with me. He just said, I got too much stress.
He has a chiropractor on the side?
I don't know. I don't even think he offers out health benefits.
Because my chiropractor be telling me all these random stuff. Like, are you a therapist too? He's just, I could tell by the way your neck is. You got two kids.
Oh, man. So I was like, yeah, let me just take this time off. You know, I called my boss. Everything was cool, man. I played 2 days worth of golf. Fiance came with me, you know, hung out, drove me around, you know, like Tiger Woods. We will talk about that because I do want to, like, butter you up to watch it and everything.
You don't need to. I was trying to watch it.
There we go. All right. Well, we'll stimulate conversation. So that's the first thing you put on after the games today. All right, man. So what we got? Today in hip hop. 1997, Kilo G, actually this week in hip-hop. In 1997, Kilo G is shot and killed. Any thoughts you want to offer on Kilo G? Rest in peace.
I mean, Yeah, pretty much. Not, I mean,
that's where we at right
that's
now.
That's where we at right now.
All
right,
and some other news. What we have is 1995. The Roots dropped their sophomore album. Do you want more? Any thoughts? Any what's your best song? I'm not a Roots enthusiast, and I feel like I should be.
You should be.
I know,
especially before you got a hold of my hard drive, like the kind of underground tone you have. Like,
yeah,
with your little Black Star stuff. Like the Roots fit right into that.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause in my Black Star catalog, there's Blacks. I mean, in that little pocket, there's Black Star. There's Elzai. Definitely. Come on, man. Come on, MERS. You know what I mean? Like all. So they fit in that. I feel like they're bigger than all those guys, though.
I mean, yeah, cause they're on late night television. But you gotta understand, like, where they coming from. Like, they built it from the ground. Like, they were actual, like, band. Like, hip-hop is more DJ, MC. Like, they were a full-on band.
Yeah.
And they came up. They got their Grammy before they was, like, big. And then, like, later on, they went to Def Jam and got the big deal.
Mm.
And then, like, still caught stride.
What are your thoughts on who would be a rival in their category? First thing that came to mind for me, and let me know if I'm out of pocket, Black Eyed Peas.
A rival?
Yeah.
Sure, I guess.
Like, if they had a versus, would that be a solid versus for them to go maybe 10 songs?
The Black Eyed Peas, I'm not familiar with their whole, like, discography, but I just feel like they're a little too pop.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone else that functioned as a band like that in that category of hip-hop. Yeah, I think that would, off the top of my head, that's it. That's all I can get to right now. Yeah, I understand your point, but I feel like, yeah, it'd be worth watching. I'm not too familiar with their cat. Maybe that's something that I will do in 2021 moving forward. So, yeah, anything else you got for hip hop that's happening or that's past or anything that you dropped in the group chat this week that you think is important for today in hip hop?
Nah, I've been kind of slacking with that just because of whatever, man. But shout out to Dr. Dre. He doing a little better.
Hey, man. Yes, yes. That's right. Ice-T had posted that he was recently home and he was looking good. I guess as you get older, that's a big thing. You know what I mean? That you're looking good, you know, as you age and progress through. Which has me thinking, so today we have to put my dog down, Satchel.
Man.
And that, I think when my first dog passed, Spartacus, it prepared me a little bit more today. But also, Satchel lived a really – he outlived Spartacus like twice yeah. his age. And I think, like, I used to say, like, oh, man, you keep him cooped up in the house all day. And I think that's what kept him alive, though. You know what
away
I mean?
From the elements.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like life didn't get to him. But his hips was just way too bad. He was whimpering and pain all the time. Bro was getting stuck on the floor, just sprawling out slowly.
That's what I'm saying. A lot happens in 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, shit, man. I'm looking at the progression of, like, 3 years. Like, I remember, he was still chasing the ball. Like dogs age like fruits and vegetables do. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you. I'm just saying, 2 weeks since I've been here, not that it wasn't bad, but, you know, I seen your pops yesterday and was like, hey, man, you know, how's that second dose treating you? Blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, yeah, I got early day tomorrow. I got to go take him in. And I already knew what that meant. I was like, damn. Like,
yeah, it's my dad, you know, I've noticed he takes death a little differently than I would, at least, and other people. In his mind, he thought he was going to have a reception of people walking in and out and saying their goodbyes to Satchel. And he was like, well, in case people would have come by the house. I'm like, bro, nobody's coming by the house.
I mean, I would have showed up early.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? But he thinking, like, they're going to be in suits today. You know what I mean? Like, it's a nasty process, man. It's crippling, too, because, you know, I look at it like, you know, Satchel was there through all my maturation. I got him when I was a sophomore in high school.
Like half your life.
Yeah, damn near. You know, we went down to Grossmont, picked him up from the little kennel there, which I'm still kind of shaky about. I feel like they be doing something that they ain't supposed to be doing. But we got him. $700 is what we paid for Satchel.
Dang.
You know what I mean? And he just, you know, outlived everybody, you know. But I heard large dogs don't live that long in the first place, so.
I mean, that's because I got a lot of family that stay with a dog, and I get it. But it's just like you either lose them early and it suck, or they live a long time, and then you get them. That attachment, and then it just suck.
Yeah.
And as much as it's like cool, especially for those that are like rescuing dogs and stuff like that, it's just like, damn, you're just inviting more pain later down the road.
Yeah. Which sucks. I mean, you know what I mean? It's something, man. I don't know what else to say about that.
And when you opened the door today, I was like, let me check the face. Let me see what's going on.
You know, the connection, like the closeness, like I was gone for 6 years. So he was with my dad the whole time. You know what I mean? And so I think for my dad, like when I left, like that was, you know, something to keep him going outside, taking him out there and
putting
stuff.
Up his net.
Yeah, putting up, you know, his he was still putting up the net there. He didn't want me to have no parts of it. But, you know, Satchel was his guy, though, man. All right, man. So you touched on something right now. And I guess we're going to give you a chance at redemption, okay? So I'm going to give you a chance at redemption. Here we go. Because of what you said earlier. So I'm going to give you some shot. I'm going to give you a shot. All right. I'm getting the vaccine. I've come to a conclusion that it's responsible for me to do so.
You saw it firsthand.
Well, my dad got it, but then that changed my perspective because when my dad got it, I was like, well, shit, my mom doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? My father-in-law doesn't have it. My mother-in-law doesn't have it. You know what I mean? My grandmother doesn't have it. These are all people that I'm around. I go to my aunt's house twice a week. I'm in there boxing with my cousin. Shout out to Get Right Boxing. And that's spelled W-R-I-G-H-T. I go, you know, to work. And, you know, with my job, I have to go into different places and meet different people all the time. So it's like, yo, like I'm purposely around people because I have to be, or I have to be either for my sanity or for my livelihood. So I might as well get vaccinated.
Yeah.
How do you feel
the same way, but at the same, and I'm also comfortable in saying that because I know by the time it gets to us, I'll be comfortable enough to be like, all right, cool, let's do it.
Yeah. But see, for me, I'm able to get vaccinated maybe in the next month or so. Because I'm considered an essential worker. So they're actually going to do one of our buildings first. And then it's going to trickle down to us. Because one of our buildings is way more.
So they read the yo, like, building reach out to you. Like, everybody.
Oh, yeah. They sent
like,
us an email.
Oh, yeah. See, I ain't got no email yet.
Yeah,
so
they
I
was
even...
like, yeah, you probably last on the list. You know, they're like, hey, we just give them a laptop,
baby.
You know. And so the reason why I say that the redemption part is this. I got this from an article I was reading. In the most dramatic case, 1.2% of white Pennsylvanians have been vaccinated as of January 14th, compared to 0.3% of black Pennsylvanians. The vast majority of the initial round of the vaccines has gone to healthcare workers and staffers on the front lines of the pandemic, a workforce that's typically radically diverse, made up of physicians, hospital cafeteria workers, nurses, and janitorial staffers. If the rollout were reaching people of all races equally, the shares of people vaccinated whose race is known should be loosely aligned with the demographic of healthcare workers. But in every state, Black Americans were significantly underrepresented among the vaccinated so far. And so, for me, like talking about that. A lot of people that I've talked to of color, you know, are talking about the Tuskegee experiments where, you know, they injected black people with syphilis and they lived with that for years and they watched and they studied them. A lot of mistrust in government where it comes to, you know, poverty and stuff like that, access to health care, all those things. I think those are represented in the numbers. But then again, I'm starting to think, like, how many black hospital staff do I see? I mean, we're in California, so they're using Pennsylvania, totally different landscape. We have a high Latino population. We're 5% blacks in, you know, San Diego as a whole in the city, you know. So I don't expect that number to be that marginally close. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds about right to me of, you know, what the vaccination, you know, rate might be, just given access to healthcare and if jobs are even offering that. But unemployment is up, too.
Yeah, but are they saying the low percentage because of there's a low percentage of black people in certain spots, or is it saying disproportionate? So Pennsylvania has X amount of percent of black people. What percentage of them are being vaccinated versus you'd expect, let's say there's 5% in the whole city, you'd expect 5% of black people to be vaccinated. That would be low, but still proportionate. You know what I mean? As opposed to, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that that this article, my inference of this article, because I didn't want to read it all the way through because I wanted to use my own common sense and knowledge to kind of like have this conversation. But it is an issue, right? And the reason why it's an issue based off of what you just said, and I didn't think about it, what's the largest city there?
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Oh, Philly.
And they have a very large
black
population.
One of the blacker cities, yeah.
And so, like, when I'm looking at that, what feeds into my argument is also that of those, you know, black citizens that are living there, how many of them are above the poverty line, and how many of them have access to, you know, that type of healthcare and moving forward? You know what I mean? Like, it's not available to the general public. So I feel like that article is a bit shy of that until it reaches the general public. They're only using hospital staff specifically.
Right. So there's different variables to it. The systemic just oppression of the denied access to healthcare and just resources in general is a big part of that, which leads to the other variable. If that happens long enough, and then you have stuff like the Tuskegee experiment and stuff like that, just the distrust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys have no reason to trust the government because they've shown you no reason to do so
at all.
And so every time doing something like this is just a leap of faith.
Mm.
And then, you know, I've seen a lot of questionable sources putting out, you know, I'm assuming it's fake news because I never really looked into it, but you're seeing, oh, I was injected with this and now I'm hurting, and oh, this many people are dying for the vaccine in here, and it's like, that's not helping either. There's so many different reasons and so many different variables hitting you that it just kind of, you don't get a chance to want to trust the government because there's always something else hitting you, like, nah, for what?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, like, by leading by example, I think it's best for me to do that right now. One of the things I will say is that, like, since, you know, those experiments and everything, like, we live in a totally different society right now, to where I feel comfortable that now if they're offering it to healthcare workers and stuff like that first, that there is some, you know, efficiency or efficacy rate that's, you know, legitimate about this, and it's not just like some bullshit.
Here's what I'll say. I'm a big science guy, so I trust the science. And if you don't trust the government, I would say, given who's in the government now, if the government you don't trust because they're saying a lot of wild and just incorrect stuff is bashing the head scientist for it, it's probably for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that scientist doesn't trust the government either, but he's there for one reason only, to give unbiased, non-political information.
Sound like you're describing Dr. Fauci.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been bashed by your mans for quite some time now. He's been real wishy-washy with him, and he's just like, hey, like, I'm just here to talk. So based on that fact, if he says these vaccines are cool, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And he's been around for a long time.
He's been around for all of them.
He was here for the AIDS, you know what I mean? The Ebola outbreak and everything.
Swine flu. SARS, all that stuff.
And, you know, man, we're going to get into it. All right, because I want to get into that, and we're going to tie it all together, man. Let's talk about storming the Capitol just a little bit. All right, we're a few weeks behind, but the reason why it's a big deal is because the inauguration is, you know, this week. Matter of fact, it's tomorrow, I believe, right?
It's on the 20th.
It's on the 20th? What's today?
Or what day? If you drop it, then it's going to sound cool if you say it's tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm going to drop it today, so it's on. It's 3 days from now. It's on the 20th. The inauguration is this week. A lot of information out there about, you know, keeping security and if they were going to do it indoors or they're going to do it outdoors. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, I don't know what they're going to do, but I really want to know because I'm, based on what's happened recently, I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I am too. I'm worried about the direction that we're going in as a nation, but I'm not too worried based off of some stuff that I was watching, you know, over the weekend. I watched that Reagan doc.
So to make it lighthearted real quick, I'm going to bring in an old Chappelle joke.
Okay.
Of why I shouldn't be worried about Wednesday. So Chappelle, this is before Obama got elected, right?
Yes.
This is like 04. And he's just like, man, I don't know. You know, man, I think I'll live to see a black president in my day, right? He starts with that. And he's just like, you never want to be the first to do anything, though. Because he's worried about like that type of stuff, right? And he's like, but here's what you do. If I was the first black president, I would make my vice president Mexican. So yeah, you could kill me, but you're just gonna open up the borders, ain't that right, Felipe? See, so I feel like that might be a thing. Like, hey, Biden's gonna be okay just because if they do something crazy, now they got to deal with a woman.
You know, I never thought about that, man. That actually is strategic on his behalf.
I mean, that's not the.
And you say a woman, it's a black woman.
No,
too.
But I feel like because we already had a black man, the fact I think it's more in that specific realm is probably more sexist than racist. Not that it's not racist, but you know, the fact that I think when it comes to that power, it's way more sexist than it is racist.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, definitely. When you look
to the point where they think you'll see a gay man as a president before you see a woman. Some people think that.
But the tides have changed too. You know, for the first time in a long, long time, you know, and this new age, the Democrats control, you know, the Senate now and the House. You know what I mean? So like, they about to rule Congress. I had a friend of mine. He said, you know, man, I'm afraid of, you know, Biden's new $3 trillion plan, you know what I mean? Because maybe they'll raise taxes. And I said, bro, you're not, you know, of the 1%, you know what I mean? You're, you know, truly middle class, and you have pretty democratic values in regards to social programs and stuff like that for people. Why are you so worried about that? I'm not necessarily worried about the Democrats hitting us hard on the taxes because I'm not in the 1%. That's the 1%'s biggest fear.
Right, but how I see it, now, obviously, if it's legal, I would say do what you can. You know, everybody wants a little bit more money in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a high tax bill, all that means is I made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'd be okay with that. It's a good problem to have. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Oh, I owe the IRS. Now, assuming you have the money to pay them, but all that means is I had a pretty good year, right?
Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, unless you're just trying to acquire more. But in regards to storming the Capitol, like specifically, a young lady, you know, lost her life. She was from San Diego. Rest in peace. Do you remember her name off the top of your head?
Nah, man. I didn't do a lot. I did like a splurge of... I wasn't following it the whole day, and I just kind of tried to catch up all at once, and that was probably more damaging than anything.
What was going on with you during that day when it happened?
I was at work with no Wi-Fi, no data.
So who told you first?
I mean, I have, you know, several people were just like, yo, you see what's going on? I did like kind of like a quick little search, like, oh shit, is that real? And just as like disappointed as I was after election day that it was that close, I was brought right back to that, like, damn, for real?
Yeah.
Like, it's really come to that. And the fact that they weren't, I wouldn't say they weren't prepared. They didn't want to be prepared. And then when I found out later that, like, they just showed up. Like, no, they were ordered to go.
Yeah. I didn't know that. See, that was news to me. Like, I found that out days later. And so, you know, and rest in peace, Ashley Babbitt is her name. She's from San Diego. I believe East County. Her and her husband own like a pool business.
I think we knew it was East County.
Yeah. I bet. Well, not necessarily, because when that shit happened, they was right downtown, like you're marching right and stuff like that. And there you go, man. I had a hard time coming to grips, though, with like some of the white outcry, right, over her being shot. Right.
Yeah.
The shit that I heard, right, like this is like the after effects of Trump, where like people were saying, oh, they shot an unarmed woman going through a window.
Right.
But you got to finish that sentence.
I believe she was trespassing.
Yeah, that was on a federal government building. You know what I mean? While they were trying to do something that was very important for the nation. You know what I mean? Like, if we were out there, we being people of color, you know what I mean? You're going to see a stronger police force. You're going to see tear gas and, you know, all that stuff.
You don't say you have to go and see, because they had the pictures of what it looked like when Black Lives Matter was there.
Exactly.
Fully militarized.
Exactly. And it makes people sick.
With the big guns.
And that led me on to what my whole point, and I wanted to gloss over that so that it leads me to my next point, right? Are you familiar with Ronald Reagan?
Somewhat. I know he was an actor.
Okay. What else do you know?
I know, you know, the crack epidemic.
Yes.
I know Nancy and Just Say No.
Just say simple, right? Just like, hey, you know, just but say no to drugs.
I do want to get to that doc because I know there's probably a lot of shit.
It was at this moment
shit
that he knew.
But yeah.
He fucked up.
I know trickle-down economics.
Okay. Meaning that
if we give tax breaks to the rich, they have more resources to give more jobs. And if we give a break up top, it's going to, we got so many more resources, it's going to get down. There's more jobs. There's more insurance, more everything for everybody else.
I was appalled. It's on Showtime. If y'all want to check it out, if you know somebody with the Showtime app or have it on TV, definitely check it out. The first episode, it kind of like gives you an outline of like Reagan's life as an actor and how he got into politics. Didn't know he was married before Nancy. He had a wife and had two children with, I believe two children with. And, you know, they ended up getting divorced and he meets Nancy. And I think they had three more children. And so what got me about Reagan was this is a man that knew absolutely nothing. He came almost out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody, I think Jack Warner, who owned Warner Brothers, you know, found him and said, yeah, well, he just had a personality that project on screen and just got big off of just being famous, right? And not really having any money or nothing like that. Sounds like somebody we know.
History repeats itself.
It sounds exactly. And guess what this motherfucker's slogan was? I'm going to go ahead and say that. Make America great again.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he, because 45 was pretty much, he didn't call it that, but he was pretty much acting a lot of the policy of trickle-down economics.
Yeah.
And it don't work.
It like, really doesn't.
We got somebody already did the research. We we had to suffer through it because of it.
Yeah. And I can't remember before Reagan who was the president. Barry Goldwater, I believe, was in the 50s. But who was president before Reagan? But we had 12 years of Republican politics. Because after Reagan, you had George H.W. Bush.
It was Carter.
And then it was President Carter before him?
Carter, Nixon, all them.
Okay, I'll see.
No, Nixon and then Carter and then...
Nixon's a Republican though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been running with Republican values for a long time, and we're starting to see the after effects. You touched down on that trickle-down economics, Reaganomics.
They talked about it in that?
Yeah, they talked about it in full detail. Because after the first 4 years, because people forget that the country was in a recession at that point.
Yeah.
And so they cut a lot of programs, and it was like, yo, these were New Deal programs that were put in place by Eisenhower?
Sure.
Yeah, I believe it was in the 30s, right? These were all New Deal policies that benefited whites. And the thing was, all right, we can make this a racial matter by saying, hey, the welfare queens, you know what I mean? They're giving birth to crack babies. They're doing all these things. We don't need to do these. These people should be able to pick themselves up on their own post-civil rights, like only, you know, 15, 20 years post-civil rights and be able to do that.
Right. To bring the drugs in the community and then blame the community for being addicts is nuts.
And to do it for another country. Because what was that for? The Contras, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting up here and I'm thinking, I'm like, bro, like the whole thought of trickle-down economics is like you said, but all it did was put more money into the wealthy's pocket. So yes, the economy actually recovered itself is what I found out, like a little bit, like it was improving. But it wasn't improving because people of the middle class and the lower class were improving. The people that was already rich was improving. You know what I mean? And then you have, you know, the government trying to fund the Contras and everything with weapons and resources and stuff like that. And they were bringing drugs back in. And now those drugs were coming into a community. Were coming into a community that was very vulnerable. It isn't to say that white folks wasn't using cocaine and all those other things. They just weren't using crack.
Yeah.
You know,
a wise man once said, "The shit's bigger than Nino Brown, baby."
But I mean, so I'm looking at how Reagan brought that out of the country. He did the same thing that Trump did. He brought poor whites and rich white people together. He went on that Southern strategy, just like Trump did, of trying to get all those Republican areas and stuff like that formed together. And he ultimately beat Hillary Clinton, you know what I mean, and became president. Now, the thing is what I don't think they attested for was the power of social media, right? And the power of being able to have, like, social media gives people a voice and it gives people an opportunity to make their own decisions about things.
And it also, for those who aren't, you know, I don't want to call them sheep, but it gives people want to be part of something. They want to be either part of the team or part of something that's bigger than themselves, to the point where if they're exposed to all this, like, oh, it's time to vote, then it's like, oh, well, I'm going to go vote because everyone else is doing it. Even if they don't think their vote all the way through, they went out and did it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So I was thinking about that, man, and I was just like, man, like, the question was when was America great then? If it ain't been great in 50, 60 years. And at the time, if they were saying that, or you know, in the 80s, like, hey, make America great again, you're pretty much in line with some of those practices that kept disenfranchised people down. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look at, like, I went to the golf course the other day, and I was like, yo, I'm not looking at y'all the same. I like this game, but I don't like some of the people that come and play it and represent it. You know what I mean? So, unless somebody coming at me, like, ultimately friendly, I ain't really messing with you. You ain't getting a head nod at me.
I would think it'd be the majority of people you need to look at sideways.
It depends on what golf course you go to. I went to Coronado. There was a little snooty out there sometimes. But, you know, that's just my little beef. I keep going back to Coronado, but I'm going to let them know I'm here. So, yeah. Tiger Woods doc, man.
I'm excited.
This is, I believe.
Someone shoot me the Showtime club. I know that one's HBO, but I'm talking about for Reagan and all this other stuff.
Yeah, that somebody shoot him the credentials so that he can go ahead and log in. I'm already using somebody, so I can't forfeit that over.
That one, yeah, those ones hard to come by.
So, the Tiger Woods doc, I purposely have been out of the know of things so that I can have conversations about him in here with you. So I had heard of the doc. I didn't do much research on it.
This is big for you.
It was a big deal for me. Because it's just like the Reagan doc, you get information about Tiger that.
Right, but Tiger's like, Reagan's not your guy. Like, Tiger's your guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I fuck with Tiger.
And he's like, obviously, but, great story.
But I mess with him for what he stands for. Because not necessarily him White as a women. Person.
Bruh.
Nah, what I mess with him for is because he's a symbol that brings more ethnicities out to the golf course. He's responsible, in my opinion, for bringing Asian people out there. He's responsible for bringing Black people out there. You know what I mean? Just bringing everyone together to, you know, watch him in his greatness. Now, the one thing that I will say that about this doc when I first started it was like, it's like, He has a different path, right? As a kid, you know, he grew up playing golf. His dad was an instructor and stuff like that, taught him all the way. He was a phenomenal golf player. But the troubling aspects of Tiger for me come when Nike starts getting involved. He has his first commercial. He's seen as the next Michael Jordan and everything. And then the issue of race.
Now, I mean, yeah, because that was what he came in with, like 96, 97?
Yeah.
And then you got, like, it's not like he came into golf.
Right, right.
Like, there's a lot of catching up to do.
At that point, yeah. you got to go ahead and put that gap. And Nike is smart. They've been around for a long time. And so, for him, they show a clip of him on Oprah. And before I get into that, the reason why I knew this was a legitimate doc, though, was because he's not in it.
Well, yeah, and usually if it's on HBO, it's kind of rubber stamp for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he doesn't have no...
He has no...
Not even like a producer credit or nothing?
No, not him, not his family. And I knew it because the last scene, spoiler alert.
I mean, we could... All right.
Spoiler alert. So if you guys are going to watch it, go ahead and skim forward now. Give you 2 seconds. One, two. So the last scene, they show one of his mistresses.
Mm. So they're in there.
She sat down, said,
"Oh, and then it cuts off. Like,
what do you want to talk about?" Boom, cut it. I said, "I'll HBO, be back next
man.
Week."
HBO, baby.
I was like, "Bro's not coming for this." And so, my problem going back to what I'm saying now that I qualify, you know, this whole documentary was that Tiger doesn't see himself as just Black or just Asian or anything like that. He had a specific term that he called himself. It was like. It was Coblin Asian or something.
Damn, what is that?
He said Caucasian, blah is Black. He said it just like this to Oprah.
I feel like he said it. Oh, you're talking about like 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
I remember that.
And so, you know, for me, like, I was like, yeah, man, I don't know if I could really rock with that. And then, like, some of the things, like, what was going on with his father. You know what I mean? There were some things that was saying, like, you know, they had a clip. He was putting on the green, and his dad had a Winnebago in the back. And so in the Winnebago, they said, when Tiger was doing his lessons and stuff or practicing, you know, his dad was giving lessons to blondes.
Hey.
He was, you want a nightcap? You know, go in there and that Winnebago be shaking while he's, you know, putting and stuff. And one of the dudes that was his dad's friend was like, shit, he ain't going to like this. He said, I'm sorry, man. He started crying because he was like, yeah, me and his dad, like, that was the things that we used to do around him. So then you skim forward 15 years later or whatever, and, you know, he's in one of the biggest scandals, you know, the of that decade, I think, you know, that was a big deal.
Wild time.
Yeah, it was a very wild time. You know, the whole story. Then
very, very, what am I trying to say? That was like Thanksgiving, right?
The time period? I don't remember the time period.
It was like Thanksgiving. I remember being like, ooh, it's popping.
And so, you know, and we forgot, you know, he had an addiction to, you know, prescription medication and everything. And he went to rehab. He went to jail. He was walking the line, looking all the way jacked up. And then he came back. You know what I mean? And it's amazing how winning cures all of everything. But it's a really good documentary. The second part is coming out tonight. I'm not going to talk too much more about it. I don't want to spoil it for you guys. If I can at least, you know, get your attention from there, and then that should be solid. All right. Read them and weep. All right. Here we go. This one's going to hit a little close. All right. I've been trying to find roundabout ways for you to get your shit off. So here we go.
One day.
This is a story that I found, and it's a question. It's an open-ended question for us to kind of stew over and give some insight. So here we go.
Stew.
I've been hanging out at the golf course, man. I hit a bad shot the other day, and I said, God dog it, because I was playing with some lady that was like, I played with all three of them was like above 65. And Adele was like, yo, what's up with you? I said, yo, I didn't want to cuss in front of them. You know, I didn't want to look crazy. You know what I mean? Saying like, I would use completely.
So you code switch?
Yeah, I code switch.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want them to get me out of there. Nah. It's bad enough I don't wear slacks. You know, I come in there with sweats and just throw the collar. You see my joints.
Hey, you had a very colorful pocket yesterday.
It matched the, you see it, man. Yeah, you see it matched the collar too. It was hard. My two married sons don't get along, and it's breaking my heart. They're 31 and 36. Both have young children. The older son lives near me, but only visits briefly at the open door with two kids in school. He's trying to protect me from COVID. The younger son lives 300 miles away. He and I talked irregularly on the phone as he's always busy. As a youngster, he'd follow his big brother around and push the Excel at the same sports to hang out with him. My older son sometimes seems annoyed that the kid had earned lots of attention. But now, the bigger problem is that their wives just don't like each other. They're different. They're different in their in upbringing. Both women have decent core values. I hate that. Also, they're equally strong-minded and voice their opinions without hesitation or filters. Together, their behavior differs like chalk and cheese. Before the pandemic, when we gathered as a family, when one started cleaning up, the other would start to bake and make a mess. But great cookies. Resentments and distancing built up with neither husband dealing with it. I sometimes feel like I've lost both my sons since they allow their wives to keep our family divided. I told you.
Look at
you. Yeah, man. I do this, man. I do this content shit, man. Don DeMarco, I do it. All right, here we go. What can I do to reunite my sons?
You asking me?
I'm asking you. Well, it was a general question, but that's, yeah. Give some backstory of why of why how you felt like that when you said I see where you're going today. That last line hit a little hard.
I mean, I ain't gonna really dive
it. Not too deep.
I'll just talk from a
general. Yeah, generally speaking.
No, because on a specific hand, I can't really relate because I have a younger brother who we wouldn't categorize ourselves as close, but he's not married, and so the fact that we're not like unified as a family or whatever has nothing to do with outside people or, you know, our spouses or whoever keeping us apart. But, you know, like any family, like you fall in love with one person and it's like, you know what, when you marry, you're marrying into a whole family, yeah, whether you like it or not. Yeah, mm-hmm. I only really had to deal, but at, you know, there's going to become times where you just have to deal with the family.
Yeah.
And if you have the right partner, they're not going to, even if they don't like your family, they're not going to keep you from them, but they're going to, they might offer insight if you're not as aware, just because, you know, you grew up in this environment or whatever, or they might, but a lot of times they're going to do everything they can to at least be cordial. And so it just sounds like the wives in this story just either aren't on that same page as far as like, oh, I don't care about his family. I married you. Like, they're not in that whole, like, I married into a whole family.
Yeah.
and they just said, no, I'm with you, and that's all I need to worry about. Now, if it's that toxic, it might get to that point, but at the same time, I don't think they would ever, they're ever supposed to stop you from seeing, like, your family family.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it'd be very tightrope situation here.
Definitely. I'm living in that situation right now. Not specifically in those details, but I would be considered one of the wives.
Right. Everybody is in this situation. Everyone that is married or whatever is in the situation to a certain extent.
And that's where I feel like the unrealistic expectations come about, you know, with people of like, oh, well, you know, it shouldn't be like this. And it's like, no, when you pull back the layers in the fabric of, you know, a lot of people's relationships with their family members or their in-laws or whatever it may be, there is some hidden bullshit in there that, you know, it might just, you know, get somebody frustrated or upset.
Because you can't, you don't pick your family.
You don't.
And you got to understand, especially that's why it's a big thing when the holidays come, you're like, oh, you got to hear about your racist uncle or whatever, like, because everybody's politics is, might be a little different. And especially as we progress further in our nation where there's more and more biracial, mixed racial couples and kids. There's a lot more congregated.
This man trying to get ahead of my content.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
It's all right, though. Nah, you good, my man.
I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, no, keep going. You in your bag. You in your bag.
I'm just saying that it's going to happen more and more where it's going to feel maybe more divided at first, at least. If you don't have the strong partners or you are the strong partner to just, hey, you know what? Just got to get through Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
With me, it's, I guess, like, you can look at it like there's a divide right now, at least in regards to, like, my mother-in-law and, you know, her family. And I'm not trying to air all that out, you know, right now. But in looking at how to fix that situation as it mirrors, you know, this one that we're talking about with this woman and trying to bring, you know, her kids together, you know what I mean? A lot of people need direction. And the hardest part that I've learned as I've gotten older, and I've seen you've kind of assumed that role too, is that if there aren't clear-cut leaders in the family, then it's like, I have to be that person. You know what I mean? And if I am that person, I got to find a way to mend this relationship or mend different relationships across the board. And so her as a mother does not know how to, relate and communicate with her sons. And I don't know necessarily, like, you know, what their upbringing was like in regards to their relationship with their mother or their father. They don't really mention that in the beginning of this article. But, you know, I guess having the conversation and being open, and also being open that if you are trying to mend it, maybe some people just don't want to mend.
Right. So you're early on in this journey as far as what you're dealing with. It gets to a point where, you know, say you assume the role, like, okay, if everyone's just not seeing it, like, let me put it upon myself to facilitate the mend. And there comes to a point where you're just like beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
You're talking to a wall. It just is what it is. And then as long as you felt in your mind, you know what, I left it all out on the field, it is what it is. Now, the other people in the scenario might not like that because they don't really understand what you've been doing. But, and there might be some, like, initial conflict once you get to that place, that place in your mind where you're just like, nah, I'm done. But you can't make them search within themselves and find out, okay, maybe I'm accountable for some of this, or maybe I need to do something different. And as long as you can go to sleep at night with that specific situation, like, you know what, I ain't tripping no matter what happens because I did literally all I could.
I had a deeper question when you started talking. And okay. This is probably one of the firest questions I've ever asked. Have you ever accepted that you're toxic for somebody?
That I'm toxic?
Yes.
I'm sure I've been toxic for
no, but
people.
I'm saying, have you accepted, like, someone distancing themselves away from you because...
Oh, you mean, like, historically or, like, yeah, right now?
Whenever, if ever.
Have I accepted?
I've had people walk away from me because, like, yo, like, the personality that I have may not align with them. Dang. You know what I mean? Or not even necessarily walk away, but kind of just tone down the situation. And there's a mutual agreement there. Like, I've got, you know, some relationships with people where it's like, yo, if we get in the same space together, like, you're going to set me off or I'm going to set you off. But we in a person-to-person context, especially if we share the same circles, you know, we put on a good game face. Like, hey, what's up, man? Cool, you good, yeah. Solid. But as soon as we get into different spaces, it's not the same energy, man. Mm. It's just weird. You know, and I've accepted that. In that regard, I am toxic to that situation, and so is that person. So them distancing themselves away from me, I'm okay with that. And the reason why I say that in relation to this story is that we don't know if one of those wives said, you know what, for the greater good, like if we have, it's middle of a pandemic, but if we have, you know, a dinner or a get together, we get back to that, I'm okay with going, you know. But any extra stuff like going over there right now and having our kids hang out with their kids, I'm not with that. I don't like the way they line up. So accepting that piece.
Man, this might sound, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the exits in my life were the other way around. Where I was either getting rid of toxicity in my life.
Can I ask you something on the air then? Can I throw a name out?
Let's throw it out there.
Ashton.
Was I toxic for him? Let me see.
Maybe
he sees it that way. I don't know. But right now, we good. We just not close because of what we went through. But like we've already squashed that.
In that regard, then that would answer my question a little bit, that you kind of pulled back from it then. Or is it that you're on a different life?
No, I never pulled back. He left. I was right there the whole time.
Where did he go?
The abyss? I don't know.
So there we go. Okay.
So maybe he said, I'm toxic right now. Let me remove myself from my inner circle. And then he popped back up when he felt he was in a better place. We sat down. He was fully accountable. He took full 100% accountability for how that happened. And we was fine from there.
You hitting it right there, because then, you know, there's no way of telling unless you come back and have that sit down
with a clear mind and open to being accountable.
Yeah.
Because I've in any situation like that, I feel like there's no way one person's 100% just at fault. And so I'm ready to like hear something and be like, you know what? I can hold myself accountable for that.
Yeah.
But if the other party is not willing to be open the same way, then you're not going to get anywhere.
Mm.
And then so it's just like, I'll continue to fall back and remove myself until things just open up and be ready.
My man is potting today. My man is potting. He came ready. He said, look, I'm not a six man. I don't come off the bench.
I had a 2-week break.
I ain't mad at you, man. He out here shooting from like the logo right now. Logo Lex. All right, man. Let's change the tune a little bit. A little bit more happiness. Some memory lane type stuff. Shit you wasn't outside for. So we went to the mall the other day. I've been in the mall now twice.
Loser.
Since the pandemic. Oh, no. We're going to get in our bag today with this one. And so the sad thing is about it, then we'll get back to the happiness, is that walking around the mall is a lot of small businesses that were in the mall that are now closed. You know, Foot Locker is different. They're only letting 4 people in. There's a line out for Foot Locker just to walk in. Obvious reasons, mandates, lockdown and everything. You know, I'm sure people are just grateful to have a mall to go to. But then I started pondering because, like, mm-hmm. I'm just going there to fill in my day. And I was like, damn, the last time I used to go to the mall to fill in my day, I was like 13, 14 years old. It became uncool around 16, 17.
Right.
But about 12, 13. So small story. My mom probably never knew this. I don't know if I've ever told this story before. But in sixth grade, I was going to Zamorano Elementary. You know, I had some friends that live closer over there, you know, by the school. So I get dressed. I throw on a FUBU shirt with a Dumb Donald. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a FUBU. It was a Dumb Donald shirt. And then some FUBU jeans, had on some boots. And I took the bus to the mall, Plaza Bonita.
There we go.
Right? I'm walking around, no money in my pocket, no intention of, you know, watching a movie or anything like that. I don't even think they had the movie theaters at Plaza Bonita at that point. But that was,
they took it away. They used to have one.
Yeah.
When you wasn't outside. And then the time frame you talking about, it wasn't there.
It wasn't there. So I was just out there hanging, watching the carousel and all that. So when...
Watching the carousel.
Y'all wasn't outside for just going to the mall and hanging out. Like, that whole mall atmosphere is now different.
Yeah.
So were you a guy that liked to go and hang out at the mall just for no reason at some point? And what was your hangout spot?
Would I say I like to go to the mall to hang out? No.
No?
Because, one, yeah, I'm broke. So I'm just out here. And two, I would roll with some fairly handsome gentleman. So if you going like, oh, where, you know, where the hoes at?
That was
like,
the whole reason
I'm going here to walk and look at girls.
For the women. We were for the women in 2021.
Yeah. So like, okay, let's go around and try to find some girls. But if I'm rolling with like 5-6 deep, where I'm like, ah, you know, I frequently lost in that competition to where I'm just like, I'm just here walking around getting my steps in at this point.
That was before it was even a thing.
Yeah. And so it's like, ah, but you know, I'm a big people watcher, always have been. So that's always something.
The mall was where, but you hit a good point. The mall was where you go to go get like girls and talk to them and see who was hanging out. Cause girls were equally going. Star shots, we talked about that. That was the thing, girls going to the mall.
And depending on what year it was, if I was on one of my down years shoe-wise, I had to really, really sidestep the shoe magic dudes. Because they was like, you know you need me, bro.
Fam, they're extra.
My man.
Bro, they're equally worse right now, though. Like, so there was a dude, like, giving out perfume stuff. And I was like, he was like, hey. You know it's bad when they make contact with you 20 feet before you even pass them. Hey, you think the missus might want this? Here, go ahead, try it. I'm like, bro, we not taking hand-to-hands in the pandemic. Don't be trying to give her no, like, perfume scent. I don't know where you've been. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but shout out to them, man. At least it learns you to get rid of that fear of talking to people. And yeah. You can really actually, once you find something better to sell, you can probably be a quality
salesman. Oh, it's trifold, though, because once you start talking to somebody that don't want to talk to you, they got to practice telling you no.
Yeah.
Because you should have seen her freeze up. Like, I was like, nah, she good, man. Don't worry about it, bro. We just passing by. I was like, you know, he's probably only seeing 5 people an hour because there's not that many people there.
Rough out
so he's just trying to be social in all aspects. All right, let's get into some history under You Wasn't Outside, something that y'all didn't even know about.
Damn, it was a hangout spot, though. It was. You sit the carousel, and that's funny.
That's super
nasty, too.
It's super nasty because the carousel's right in the front.
Yeah, there's a bunch of kids riding it. You're supposed to be 13, 14.
And you just came out, and they put the carousel next to all the cool shit. It's next to Champs, Finish Line. Like, you got to get that way, especially if you're on the first level. Let's get to some history that y'all didn't know about. Maybe you knew about. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Initially scheduled for a February 1979 launch, Nickelodeon was officially launched on April 1st, 1979. Did you know that the programming of Nickelodeon has been around for that long?
Nah, but based on the name, I guess that makes sense. Because the Nickelodeon is like an old school newspaper thing, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not 100%. I didn't get to that part yet.
Yeah.
Warner, as the first ever children's network on Warner Cable franchises across the country. Initial programming on Nickelodeon included Pinwheel, video comic book, America Goes Bonanza, or Banaz, I don't know what that is, Nickel Flicks, and By the Way, all of which originated at the Cube Studios in Columbus. For its first few years, Pinwheel was the network's flagship series, and it was played for 3 to 5 hours a day in block format. Now, they say that it was the flagship, but I felt like the 90s and the early 2000s, we had it cracking for Nickelodeon, you know, so that was shit that y'all wasn't outside for. So off the top of the dome,
boom,
name them.
All right. So Hey Arnold.
Boom.
Rugrats.
Boom.
All Real Monsters.
No, he's in his bag. We didn't even go over this.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah. Boom.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Bam. He didn't hit
Recess.
All of them. Boom. And that's a gem because most people don't remember because it comes on Recess now.
It was
comes
a little later.
Cable.
It was a couple years later than like the other ones I'm talking about. But those are my big ones because I wasn't even a big reader. But I was Hey Arnold was probably number one.
Hold on. Let me give you your bangs. All right. He got all those. All right. Here we go. What else we got?
Oh, and then, oh, man. What's the Temple of Doom?
Temple of Doom is another one.
Temple of Doom or...
Now, when you started getting older, what did you start watching on Nickelodeon?
Started getting older on it. I might have been off it after that.
All That?
Okay, All That. But that wasn't the same time?
It was around the same
time. Okay,
but you started getting a little older.
I was talking about cartoons and shit, but yeah, All That, Kenan and Kel.
Yep.
Dang, what is that called? Like, Are You Scared of the Dark?
Yep.
They had like some, I know they had some other,
You got, and then Angry Beavers was on there
Angry,
too.
Yeah, I was an Angry Beavers dude, but yeah.
Yeah, so you got everything on that list, man. Yeah, I felt like that was a golden era of television, bro, because like I think Doug came on at like 6 or 7 o'clock or whatever, just like right in time before I went to bed, and Hey Arnold, You know, those all came on late before bedtime or whatever.
Promoting the R dynamic early.
Yeah, easily. Wait, so I would be Skeeter?
Man, that coloring black people green like that.
I think
real
he was
nasty.
Blue, wasn't he? I thought he was.
It was like a bluish green.
Green was Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger was green. Roger was a nasty dude. He dressed like a greaser. Bro had on boots and a leather jacket. That's nasty. Hey, are you on the season? Have you passed the season of 90 Day Fiance with a black dude and the Filipino girl, and his brother didn't like her?
No, we ain't there yet.
We took a break.
They're showing
him. He came out in a brown jacket and leather jacket.
Like the one Muhammad be having all
the
time.
Yeah, he had a brown leather jacket with some jean shorts and some K-Swiss on. Hey. And they matched the brown. I was like, yo, that's a nasty dude with tube socks. I was like, where they finding this black brother at, man? What's up with this, man? All right, man. Let's see if my man's will answer the phone. I was going through some things that we could talk about, and I got on to this whole thing about school bullying, and I know a gentleman that is really versed in he's really versed in like school stuff because he is, you know, somebody who works at a school and he's been doing it for a long time. I'll let him qualify it when I talk to him, but let me give him a call. I told bro that I was gonna call him right now, so if he don't answer, we're just gonna have to do this without him. All right, give me a second. Carry the two. And we're off. Let's call him. Here we go. Carl.
Hey.
What's up, man?
You're calling me from Auntie Karen's phone.
Yeah, yes, I am, because we're on her laptop and on the air right now. There we go. All right, we back, man. All right, we got Carl in the booth. No, you're not going to be on video, Carl, to answer your question. You're on video with me, but the audio is coming through the computer, so nobody can see you or nothing like that.
Blessings.
Carl, so I called you because I didn't know who else to call other than my good friend. You hit me up last night. You said I've been going ghost, but you didn't even know I had big plans for you. So these big plans are already included. I can see your face now. He started stretching his neck, all this other stuff. My big plans for you have more so to do with to talk to you about what I sent you earlier in regards to school bullying, right? So,
oh, my gosh.
No, well, I mean, you're a good rep to talk about it. You don't have to tell people where you live at. You don't have to tell them the name of your school, but give them a little background knowledge of you and education right now. What do you do?
I fight.
All my life I've had to fight.
You could say all that, but if you mention my name, people could Google me, so it don't really matter.
I'm not saying your last name.
I got a wiki page. Oh.
Yeah, ain't nobody's gonna know it's you because you know your last name is not on there. But what do you do for a living, Carl?
Oh, I don't even know what I do anymore. But basically, I work in the field of education for a nonprofit, and my title is Education Program Director. So my job is basically to oversee education programs, and what I'm doing right now is I'm working on a special project with the school district, analyzing their data and making recommendations for teaching to their teaching staff.
There we go. So I want to read this little excerpt from an article real quick and then kind of gather everybody's thoughts. When my daughter was 9.5 years old and in fourth grade, she reserved a Percy Jackson book at her school library. After waiting weeks for her turn, she was thrilled when her name was finally called. Then the boys in line behind her told her she should let one of them have it instead. Everyone knows you can't read anyway, they told her. My daughter has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is dyslexic, and struggled to read at that time. But she still loved books. She liked to listen to me read them to her, and even if she didn't enjoy work, even if she didn't enjoy working to read them herself, but when her classmates insulted her, they might as well have ripped the book out of her hands and thrown it into a fire. It no longer held any joy for her. The message followed my daughter throughout the rest of her year. Kids taunted her at gym, telling her she was too stupid to be on their team. One class project partner said to her, "Just go sit on the side. You're worthless." When she approached the lunch table to sit down, a lunchbox was placed on the empty chair, and the girl sitting beside her told her, "This seat is taken." By the end of the school year, my beautiful daughter, who was 10 years old, was broken. When she looked in the mirror, she no longer saw vivid green eyes, mild long lashes, and gorgeous chestnut hair. When she cartwheeled across our lawn, she no longer felt pride in her ability to fly across the ground. When I suggested a book I thought she'd enjoy, she threw it across the room and told me she was too stupid to understand it. Now, that's pretty deep, man. So in regards to like school bullying and stuff like that, I think that there has to be a change. You know what I mean? Like, we're living in times right now where kids need, you know, that support, you know, from their peers, and they, you know, spend a good majority of their time with their peers in the first place. You know, and these are people that they may look up to depending on the ecosystem of that school, you know, and everything that, you know, I just felt like this was something that was important. Any thoughts that you have on, or anything that you've seen like in your field, or anything that you guys are trying to do to counteract that?
So I will say, not to be the first one to speak, but what I just thought of was some of what the social workers do at the schools, and how they really focus on anti-bullying prevention and things like that. Bullying is something that unfortunately weaves in the fabric of American schools. So, I mean, I don't know if you got bullied, but I got bullied as a kid. As a vice principal, when I was a vice principal on the west side of Fresno, in the west side of Fresno, we dealt with bullying all the time, to the point where parents were always at the school, and our kids weren't even, they weren't even as, when, in comparison to other schools and their level of bullying, our kids weren't even at that level. But we were on top of it all the time, because, I don't know, you know, it really bothers kids and their self-esteem when they're being picked on by their peers. I guess that will be for anybody, though, like a grown-up too. So, I don't know. Listening to that excerpt, if I'm so fortunate to have children, it really, really, really pushes me to want my kids to go to a private school and not go to public school unless it's a charter school, and when they're older, to learn about community, because people are selfish and bullying is a selfish act, and it usually happens because that child has been bullied themselves. It's like a repeat. It's like a repeated cycle.
Yeah. And when you listen into the title of this article, Lex is here also. When you listen into the title of this article, it says, "School bullying taught me that parenting children the way I was raised no longer worked." And so this mom, she kind of goes into an excerpt of saying like, hey, you know, my natural reaction was to be a hands-on parent, you know, and show up to the school. But, you know, sometimes that has repercussions to it, you know. So I'm encouraging, you know, my daughter to be able to solve her own problems. And this is a new way of parenting. And I do feel like we are in like a new way of parenting where, you know, things need to be looked at as a whole, because if my mom came up to the school, it was embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm giving it to you every day after that too.
Yeah. And sometimes it makes it even worse though. So what tools do you think kids need, you know, to be able to survive, you know, an ecosystem such as, you know, bullying and stuff like that in that type of environment? Or what do you see that kids are lacking? You know, what is different? Because you've been in education for a while now. Have things changed significantly from when you first started working, you know, with kids till now? Or has it been marginally the same? Has it gotten worse? What things have you seen in regards to kids?
Bullying. Bullying day in, day out. It's basically like, okay, not to make this about coronavirus, but 100 years ago, we had a pandemic that lasted 2 years. 100 years later, we have a pandemic that's probably going to last 2 years. What I'm saying is, I don't think that when things are when things happen, they happen based off of like their magnitude, and their magnitude matches the energy of the outside world. Granted, COVID-19 is not the Spanish flu of 1918; it's much, much more, probably much worse. But as technology has advanced, our problems have advanced, and I feel like bullying is the same way. as our kids advance, the bullying advance. So it may appear that there's more bullying or more opportunities to bully, but in all actuality, that just matches the, I don't want to say the energy, but maybe the spirited expression of kids in today's world. Because with Generation Z, they are a little bit more advanced when it comes to technology and a lot of other things. And so I feel like based off of the students that we have now and their capabilities, the level of bullying matches that.
Mm.
And it has the same impact. Like, it's kind of like you get, like you learn about the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, because people can say those things, they can roll off your back, that's one thing. But if they post it on Instagram or Twitter, that's another. So basically, you know, back in the day it was, you know, people's words. Now it's people's social media. But it still has the same impact.
Yeah.
So I would say it's the same. And it starts with the school culture. The school culture, for some reason, reinforces that behavior in some regard. It may be like an unspoken norm or how they deal with kids. But my thing is, as a principal, wearing a principal hat, if kids knew that they would get the police called on them and possibly get arrested for bullying somebody, I think that they would tread lightly, especially parents. They knew that was going to be for real. Mm. But I think that, similar to people who don't want to wear masks, we have parents that grew up a certain type of way and feel like you have to learn how to fight. And, you know, this is part of life. Like, bullying is part of life. And I don't think that's the truth. That doesn't have to be the truth for everybody.
Okay, that's what I was kind of thinking along the lines of, how do you feel about those people that are probably, they're like, oh, this generation is just soft. Like, as the generations go by, every generation is now saying, oh, this generation's even more soft.
I don't know, because this generation caused an insurrection at the Capitol. That don't seem too soft to me. That gives me terrorist vibes. So I feel like with each generation, they get the generations. I think it's the total opposite. I feel like the generations become much more lethal in their approach and in how they I don't want to use the word tear people down, but I just don't see it as like getting better when it comes to the generations, like the younger generations. I feel like how they said in the past, oh, this generation is worse than the last one. I think with technology and the advancement of it, provides too many opportunities for kids to engage in things they shouldn't at an early age for that to become normalized.
Mm.
And so they may be soft because they're learning better communication skills. But their execution, I don't think, is soft at all. I think it's very, very avant-garde, to say the least.
Got it. Any other questions you got for him?
No, that was good. I never heard it put that way.
Yeah, I ain't never heard it put that way either. I didn't have, you know, more so, I didn't have any direction to take on that. I just wanted to, you know, talk to somebody that was, you know, dealing with it on the front lines and, you know, sees it all the time, but... definitely you really like gave us some insight on that, man. And I'm gonna holler at you, you know, once I get out of here. I told you I'm gonna call you back, so I'm gonna call you back when I get out of here.
All right.
Look at this baby.
Thanks for having me on, and I hope I didn't say nothing strange.
Nah, you didn't say. I know you're gonna go back and listen. All right, Carl, I'll hit you up.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, that boy out there in the zone. I don't know where he's pulled off.
That sounds like he had a rest stop.
All right, man. I had some extra shit, man. But I mean, we're an hour and 30 in, man. We can save it, man. Did we touch a lot that you wanted to touch on?
It's been 90 minutes.
It's been 90 minutes. Oh, yeah, time flies. We had an 8-minute excerpt in the beginning, so that's what got
that
us.
That's my fault. All right.
It's not your fault. It's all right. You felt left out, man.
Hey.
Anything you wanted 3 cheers for, man?
I mean, shit. 3 cheers to, I guess, the obvious, MLK.
Yes, yes, it's Martin Luther King. His birthday, I believe, was
yesterday.
Yeah, what's today? Sunday. Yeah, Saturday, and then actual Martin Luther King Day is on Monday. You know, for those of y'all that, you know, are not really vested in, you know, Black Lives and stuff like that, or you're on the other side, just go ahead and go to work if you feel like it. Then, you know, that's your personal choice. You don't have to partake in the day if you don't want to. But I know most of y'all gonna take the day off, so it's okay. So therefore, you're partaking in it. I do want to give a three cheer shout out. I want to give a three cheer shout out to President-elect Joe Biden and also Kamala Harris. I'm not a full on supporter, but they are in the position to promote change. And I don't know where that change is going to lead us. I don't know if it's going to be something great or not. I hope this inauguration goes smoothly. I hope people can go back to being closet racist, because, you know, we know you're there. So, you know, just go ahead and hide out, and we'll just keep our head on the swivel. But, you know, shout out to them. And I just, you know, hopefully this country can move, you know, in a more, you know, progressive, you know, manner, and not necessarily make America great again, but make America better. So that's the way that I'm looking at it from that standpoint. Make America better, not again.
And shout out to all the proactive snitches.
Yo,
the ones that just they pointing them out. Everyone's been, and all these arrests coming left and right.
It's coming, yeah,
for being dumb.
YFN Lucci just got caught up. Hell, Mike, you know the world is different when Mike Pence turned on Trump. I was like, yo, it's different now. It'd be your own homies.
For real.
It'd be your own. I tried to tell him, you know, there's going to be some books out about this, man. All right, man, we're going to get the hell up out of here, man. I love this Jasmine Sullivan album, so we're going to leave it on a freaky note. Lex, you can go ahead and take your,
I'm out of here.
Yeah, you can take those off. This ain't for you. It might be for you, but it ain't for you and I together.